So thankful that you guys are here this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll open God's Word. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we are able to come here together this morning and to worship Jesus. Lord, maybe this morning will be the first encounter somebody has had with the beauty of Jesus, and my prayer is, in faith, they will trust in Him. Lord, maybe for us, as believers, we are already overwhelmed with holidays and Christmas coming up and situations in life. And maybe for us this morning, we just need a rest at the feet of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bring us to a place where we find comfort and healing in the name of the Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are unable to be here today, either because of sickness or maybe they're traveling. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, be with their families. Lord, I pray that you would be magnified and glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you believe it's already Thanksgiving week? It's crazy, isn't it? It's coming, so don't worry, it's coming. This morning we're going to continue our study in the book of Proverbs. We've kind of been in and out of the book of Proverbs for a little bit over a month. And the book of Proverbs is, for the most part, written by a man named Solomon. And other than Jesus Christ himself, Solomon was the wisest man who ever walked this earth. You see, God granted Solomon the gift of wisdom. And wisdom is really this. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's perspective. The ability to see life from God's perspective. And really, that's really the core of what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's all about wisdom for living. It's one of the most important books of the Bible for us as Christians to understand how God wants us to live this life that He has given us. And we can find great wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And if you're a Christian this morning, if you've trusted Jesus to save you from your sins, to restore your relationship with our Creator, not based on what you do, but what's been already done on your behalf on the cross where Jesus willingly gave up His life for you, then there should be a desire, a gospel-given, gospel-driven desire to live for Jesus and to honor Jesus. It should be in you. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins, and in repentance and faith, you surrender your life to Christ, there should be a new desire in you, and that desire should be, I'm living for Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that you and I as Christians live for and honor Jesus is by living our lives under the very principles and truths that are found in God's Word. It is the very Word of God that provides the framework in which we can live lives that honor Him, love Him, worship Him, desire Him. Proverbs 16:20 says, whoever gives thought to the Word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Do you want to live a life as a Christian this morning that honors the Lord and is blessed by God? If that's you this morning, the Scripture says you need to trust in the Lord. You need to trust in His wisdom for your life. There is no greater approval that you will find in this life than by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in His ways for your life. If you want validation in your life, if you want approval on how your life is working or not working, He says, trust in the Lord. Depend on my wisdom for your life. Now the question is, for us, is what happens as a Christian when you come to a point in your life when you really don't know what to do? You really don't know what to do, and maybe that's you this morning. Maybe if we could be real transparent this morning, if we would just simply take our church faces off for just a moment, we would all agree that there are times in our life, seasons in our life, where we really don't know what to do. Maybe there's a circumstance that you're facing or have faced. Maybe it's a financial decision. Maybe it's a career move or a relationship situation Maybe there's something going on in your life right now, or maybe in the very life of your family, and you've prayed about it. You've searched the scriptures. You've even fasted over the situation, and you're still at a place where you don't know what to do. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there before? Where you've done those things, you've prayed, you searched the scripture, you fasted over those things, and you still have come to a place where you really don't know what to do. I want to encourage you this morning that if that's you this morning, or when it is you, when you're in a situation with yourself or your family and you simply have exhausted all efforts and you're not sure what to do, I want to encourage you with this. Seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. It is a very important facet of our life as Christ followers. As you journey through life, it is imperative that you seek godly counsel. As a matter of fact, one of the most dominant themes that is found in all of the book of Proverbs is that right there, seeking godly counsel, the importance of seeking godly counsel. Proverbs 24:6 says this, "For by wise guidance, that is counsel, you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors, there is what? There is victory." This verse says, the reality of your life is this. It is war. The reality of your life is war. Where you live, where you work, where you go to school, all the areas of your life are wrapped around this understanding of it's a war. It is a battle. But the ones who are successful, the ones who continue to move forward and grow deeper in Christ each and every day, are the ones who surround themselves around godly counsel. Godly counsel. You see, life is not built to live off just mere strength, that I'm going to muster up enough strength to push through this obstacle in my life. The scripture says if you want to win victory in the wars that are in your life, it's not by strength. It's by seeking godly counsel, putting yourself around people that will speak life into you. And so that brings about three important questions for me this morning. And the first one is this. Why is it important to seek godly counsel? Maybe you're here this morning and you're new to this life as a Jesus follower. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, or maybe you're just seeking answers. Why is it important in our life to seek godly counsel? Two main reasons why. First one is this: my perspective is always limited. My perspective is always limited. No matter how much you think you know, no matter how much you think you understand a situation, your perspective is always what? It is always limited. Most often, the way that many of us navigate through life is with one perspective, our perspective. It's what we see, it's what we want, it's what works best for us. It's based on how we feel. And we have tunnel vision. As Christians, we have tunnel vision. We put our head down and we just keep plowing. Our perspective is limited. That's why it's important to seek godly counsel, because they're going to provide perspective that we may not understand, or we may not have even looked at or even thought about. Not only is it important to seek godly counsel because of lack of perspective, it's also important because my input is never enough. Your input is never enough. My opinion or my input in a particular situation is never sufficient in and of itself. It's foolish to assume that you will always know by yourself all areas of life. How to handle marriage situations, financial situations, relational situations, situations that are going on with your neighbor, situations that go on in the church. Listen, when you look at myself and Pastor Jack, we're not doing it by ourselves. We rely on the Spirit of God, the Word of God, His presence in our life, and we have godly counsel around us. Specific individuals that we go to give us perspective, to give us input on how to see a situation or go through a situation. You know, we're well aware of this in our life. For most men, if you get us behind a car, we'll drive for hours not knowing where we're going and still think we got it together. By the grace of God, He has implanted GPS systems in our life. And you didn't have to buy the device and put it up on your windshield. You got it on your phone now. That is a lob of grace to us as men. We understand that. We will drive for hours and hours and hours and think we got it. Men, as you lead in your home, as you shepherd your wife, as you shepherd your family, we need to understand something important. We are capable of making the wrong decisions. We are capable of making the wrong decisions. And not only that, apart from God's guidance, God's wisdom, we will often make wrong decisions in our life. You see, wisdom always seeks counsel. It's vitally important as Christians that no matter how old we are, this is not just a man issue or a young person issue. No matter how old we are, it's very important for us to seek counsel from those who are walking with God and honoring His word. You're not seeking counsel from anybody and everybody. You're seeking counsel from specific people. People who want to live for God and they love God and they're positioning their life in such a way that they're honoring the word of the Lord. As I look back in my life, as I think about all the unwise decisions that I made in my life, most of those could have been avoided if I just simply stopped for a second and sought godly counsel. For some of those unwise decisions, it took years to heal. It took years to make right, in a sense. And I know many of us here, especially adults, we could probably look back in our life and say, you know what, if I would have just sought some godly counsel, I wouldn't have made that decision. It's important for us to seek godly counsel. Why? Because our perspective is limited and our input is never enough. It's never enough. And that leads us to the second question. What steps do I need to take in order to live a life that seeks godly counsel? Right now, where you sit, how do you position yourself in a place where you're going to live this life for Jesus Christ? As a man or a woman or as a young person, with this mindset, with these boundaries around you, that you are going to live life seeking godly counsel. How do you take the necessary steps in your life in order to seek godly counsel? There's a couple steps that I want you just to think through. Your relationships must include people you trust to speak God's wisdom into your life. You must surround yourself around people that you trust to speak God's wisdom into your life, even when you don't like what they have to tell you. That happens sometimes, and sometimes that's the hardest thing to do as a believer, is one, to speak truth in somebody's life, and two, receive the truth even when you don't like it. But it's important to surround yourself around people that you trust to speak God's wisdom into your life. Think about this for a moment. If you take a step back today and you just analyze your life, if you analyze the people that you're around, who has the most influence in your life? Right now, who has the most influence in your life? And I just want to encourage parents today. Sometimes you speak to your kids and you feel like you're just speaking to a concrete wall. And they're not listening. Let me tell you, they are listening. They are listening to the things you say and the things that you do not say. They're listening. That is a privilege that parents have in the lives of their children that nobody else has. You have influence in their life. Even if you don't think they're listening, they are listening to what you're saying. So ask yourself, who has the most influence in my life? And I understand there are some places that we have to navigate through life in where we really don't have a choice who's around us. Some of us are in work environments that are not very godly, not very kind. Sometimes we go into school situations and we don't have a choice who's around us to some degree. There are people that are just in our classroom sitting next to us. They got the locker next to us. But when you think about the dominant influences in your life, who's influencing you? What kind of control are they exhibiting over you? Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." That doesn't need a whole lot of explanation, does it? That phrase "walks with" and the word "companion" indicates this idea of relationship. This idea of relationship. Those who are in your life. Those that know you and you know them. Those that understand your situation, those that understand the things that you're going through in life, essentially, you're living life together. It is so important for us as a body of believers to get past this idea that if I show up on Sunday morning for church, that's enough. It's not enough. Just because I spend time in the Word of God and I pray by myself, that's enough. That is not enough. Those things are important, yes, but if you miss the idea and the concept and the truth and the beauty of being a part of the body of Christ, living life together, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. And the Scripture says it's based on the relationships that you have. Think about it. Wise decision-making begins before the decision ever comes up. You realize that? Before you're ever faced with the decision, if you make wise decision-making skills in your life, you'll already have answers before those situations even come up. In other words, if I'm hanging around the wrong kinds of influences, my decisions in life in many ways have already been made. They've already been made. The relational choices you make right now, today, at this moment, sets the environment for which your decisions will be made in the future. It's just the way it is. We grasp this idea as parents, don't we? It's why we want our children to hang out with people that have the right kinds of influences. We understand this. But let me remind you, the biblical principle of surrounding yourself around godly influences is just not for children. It's for adults too. We think we're immune to these situations of life and we just say, you know what, I don't need to be around godly people. Yes, you need to be around godly people. There will never be a time in this life where any of us are strong enough not to need godly counsel, godly influence in our life. Do you know what the Bible calls someone who lives life thinking that they can do it on their own? The Bible calls them a fool. That's what the Scripture says. That you're living a foolish life. Proverbs 28:26 says this, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be what? Will be delivered, set free. To live foolishly is to live life without concern of God's perspectives in your life and to remove godly influences in your life. And you think about what challenges us today. Between social media, music, TV, AM radio. Yes, people still listen to AM radio. Some of you have engrossed your whole mindset in talk radio. If it be sports or whatever those other guys that are talking, I'm not saying don't listen to them. I'm just saying don't let that be the greatest influence in your life. Because you know what happens? You start to act and think just like they think and act. And let me just in case you're not aware, sometimes they're not very godly influences. They're just not godly influences. They may be Republican, they may be Democratic, but they may not be godly influences. Does this mean we shouldn't have friends that aren't believers in Jesus Christ? That is absolutely not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we should leverage every opportunity we have with the unsaved world to show them a complete picture of the gospel. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to surround yourself with godly counsel so that when you enter into that world of darkness, you can actually be the true light that shines into that situation. I would go on to say this. If you have not positioned yourself to have godly counsel in your life, you're probably not being the greatest witness that Jesus wants you to be. But when you surround yourself around godly influence, that strength, that bond, and you go into those situations, places in your work, places in your school, places in your home, you will be a gospel-driven witness. Bill Hybels says this. If we are committed to following God's path and growing in wisdom, goodness, discipline, and truth, then we should intentionally surround ourselves with people who exhibit those qualities. As our friendships with those people grow, so will our character and our pursuit of godliness. There's something true there, that when you surround yourself around godly influence, it produces godliness in your life. Why? Because they're showing you how to live as a Christ follower. They're teaching you how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So who are those people who have the greatest influence over you? Are they really pointing you to Jesus? Are they really pointing you to your need for Jesus? Do they walk with God? Do they know you well? Do they know the situations that you're involved with well? Do you actually spend time together? Do they have an atmosphere of where they can actually speak truth into your life? Do they have the freedom to speak truth into your life, even when it hurts? If you can't rattle off one or two people right now based on that, you're in trouble. But you don't have to stay there. You can spend time with the Word of God and spend time in prayer and ask God to reveal to you one or two people that you can truly trust and spend time learning from them, also blessing them with the influence that you have been. Essentially, we're talking about being a mentor. That's all we're talking about here. It's important to have mentors in your life. The second reason, or the second step that you can take in order to position your life with this concept of having godly counsel, wise counsel, is this: you must be willing to seek input from others in your life. You must be willing to seek it. It's one thing to surround yourself around godly influence. It's a whole other thing to actually seek it. You can be around a bunch of godly people, but never seek input from them. You realize that? You can be around people who love God and honor His Word. That could be your influence. But the next step is that you're actually seeking input from them. You're seeking input from them. There are times in life where you got to make a split second decision, right? We understand that. But let me just peel back that onion just a little bit. 95% of the time in your life, you have time to think. You have time to allow that situation to marinate a little bit. You have time to process that situation and pray over that situation. And yes, even seek godly counsel over that situation. Not everything in life is a rush decision. Most things in life are not a knee-jerk rush decision. Why is it important to seek godly counsel? Why is it important to seek input from people who love God and love His Word and love you? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Did you hear what he said? It's true. Your heart will lie to you. It will lie to you. As a matter of fact, other than Satan himself, the greatest liar that roams the planet is found in your heart. It will deceive you. Think about it. Your heart will tell you this is what you really need. This is who you need to date. This is who you need to marry. And I know we are just going crazy right now because we've already looked at the Black Friday ads coming up after Thanksgiving. And we got to have that 95-inch TV because it's on sale. We're going to have a rush decision. We're going to go out and we're going to do it. I've got to buy that thing. My heart tells me I need to listen to this kind of music. I need to watch this kind of TV. I mean, I'm really getting to know the housewives of wherever they're at. I've got to know them. We're intrigued by that stuff. Listen, there are times in your life where your heart is wrong. It is just wrong. Warren Wiersbe says this: "In seeking counsel, we must be sincere because a loving and wise friend can often see dangers and detours that are hidden from us." Think about that for a minute. Wise counsel, godly counsel, oftentimes can see detours and dangers that are in your life that you may not even recognize. There is no greater place to be when your heart is telling you to do something wrong, and someone who loves God and loves you comes alongside of you and says, "Time out. Time out. Let's take a step back. This is not adding up. This is not going to be a blessing in your life. In reality, it's going to cause a lot of harm. It's going to be a curse in your life. This isn't the path that you need to go down. It may look good on the first couple steps, but the trajectory of where you're headed is not going to be a good one for you." This is the idea that our perspective is limited, isn't it? What we see, what we feel, what we want it now. And so we don't often seek input, godly input in our life. Your godly friends can sometimes see some of the things that you don't see. Why? Because they've gone down that road before. They understand that if you take step A, step B, step C, it's going to lead to a place that you did not want to be. You know, most often when we come about with great destruction in our life, we didn't set out to do it. We didn't set out to do it. It was just one step after another that slowly got us down a path of great destruction. And that's why it's important to seek godly input in your life. You know, all this sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, I agree with this, Pastor. The question is, why don't we seek godly counsel? You ever thought about that for a minute? Why don't I seek godly counsel? I know it's true, but why don't I seek it? A few things that I want us to just point out here on reasons why we don't seek godly counsel. The first one is arrogance. Arrogance. We all have a pride problem, let's be honest. All of us have a pride problem. We don't seek it because we don't think we need it. We think we got it. We think we know better. We think we got it all under control, that we're gonna be able to Google the answer and it's going to be ready to roll. We're going to be good. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you choose to not seek godly counsel because you don't think you need it, that's the next chapter in your life. All the things that you love the most will start collapsing around you. It happens. It happens. Another reason that we go back to arrogance for a minute. Sometimes arrogance is pride in the sense that you think you know it all. But sometimes arrogance comes in a different form. It's still pride, and it's this, that you feel embarrassed to ask for godly counsel. I mean, that's one of the things that you got to deal with as a pastor, that most often people look at you and think that you got all the answers. Listen, the same turmoil in many ways that's happening in your family are the things that happen in my family. Why? Because we have sinful people living among sinful people. And so there are things that my pride has to say, you know what? It's okay to be a pastor and need help, need guidance. And so sometimes arrogance, pride can come in that form where you're just embarrassed to seek it. Another reason why we may not seek counsel in our life is rebellion. Rebellion. We simply don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. We know what they're going to say. And people will avoid you like the plague, won't they? They know that you're going to speak truth into their life, and they just don't want to hear it. And so they avoid you. We have a rebellious spirit, and we know what we want to do isn't according to God's word. And so we rebel against this idea, this truth of seeking godly counsel. Why? Because in our minds, we have it justified. And if we sit down with somebody who's going to give us godly counsel, we'll realize maybe we really don't have a justification whatsoever. The last thing we need to hear when we have a rebellious spirit is this: I don't want to hear anything about God. I don't want to hear anything about what God's word says. This is what I want to do. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. The scripture says, when you choose to isolate yourself from godly counsel, what happens? You are raging war against God's wisdom. You can't win that battle. You cannot win that battle. Another reason why we don't seek godly counsel is not only because of arrogance and rebellion, is because of this: impatience. Impatience. We are impatient people. We are very much impatient people. We think we don't have time to seek counsel. We have to make the decision now. I mean, there are many a times where I used to go to Old Navy a good bit when it was at Citadel Mall, and I would pick up a pair of jeans, and man, I'd get them. I'm like, oh, these are great. And by the time I get down to the front, to the cashier, you know what would happen? I'd put the jeans back. And my wife's always like, what are you doing? I'm like, I really don't need them. I've sought my godly counsel, you know? That happens in life. And my wife's like, well, you're still wearing clothes from high school and you're 35 now. You can't do that anymore. The point is this. How many people do you know, even ourselves, get into long-term loans and those kind of things simply because we were impatient? We didn't really seek out the whole picture of what we were getting ready to get involved with. And now all of a sudden, you got something that's with you for 6-7 years, and you're wishing you never would have made that decision in the first place. Impatience. Proverbs 19:2 says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. When you consistently live life in a hurry, when you rush from one impulse decision to another, you will make many, many mistakes. We are impulsive. We got to have things now. And one of the reasons why we don't seek godly counsel is because we are impatient. So the question, based on that, is how well do you go to people you trust for godly counsel? Not only is it important to surround yourself around godly influence, but how well do you actually seek out godly counsel? And that leads us to the third step. The third step, if you want to have a life that seeks godly counsel, you must be teachable and listen to input. You must be teachable and listen to input. It's one thing to have godly influence. It's another thing to seek their input. It's a whole other dynamic to actually listen. It's a whole other dynamic to actually listen to what they're saying. When you consider how important it is to listen to godly counsel, listen to what the book of Proverbs says. Proverbs 10:17 says, "Whoever heeds, whoever listens to instruction, that is counsel, is on the path to life. But he who rejects reproof leads others astray." You wander off course. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." He doesn't just seek advice, he actually listens to that advice. That word listen means to give great attention to. You have my undivided attention. I love being around counsel like that. When you go to talk to them, it's like everything else in the room stops and they're focused just on you. That is a good place to be. They are actually listening to what you're saying. And you know what happens when they respond back to you? Most often, it's going to be truth and love. And when you just listen to that advice, you're in a good place. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof," and I'm glad my kids aren't here today. My wife's taking care of one of our children who's not feeling well, "is stupid." We tell them not to say that word, but Scripture says it. So what does he mean by that? He who ignores reproof. He who does not listen to godly counsel literally is as dumb as an ox. That's what that Hebrew word means for stupid. You're dumb as an ox. You're living life in an unwise fashion. The crazy thing about the book of Proverbs is this. You don't have to do it God's way. You realize that? Even as a Christian who has been redeemed by the grace of God, we can choose not to do it God's way, right? Most often, we're around people that have been redeemed by Jesus and yet choose to do things the wrong way. Let me ask you something. What happens when we make unwise decisions? What happens when we don't do that? Why is it a big deal to seek godly counsel? In your life, why is it important to seek godly counsel? I mean, think about what happens when we make unwise decisions in this life. You know what happens? People get hurt. You realize that? Every unwise decision you make has the potential of hurting somebody. People get hurt. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in the abundance of counselors, there is what? There is safety." When you choose not to seek godly counsel, people get hurt. Listen, I can see it in some of your eyes. I can see the pain and the hurt. Why? Because your child has chosen to not seek godly counsel. I can see it in the eyes of young people. Why? Because their mom or dad chose to not seek godly counsel, and they chose to live life not under the principles and the truths of God. And what happens? They make unwise decisions. And what happens? People get hurt. People that we love the most get hurt. Another thing that happens when we make unwise decisions is this: relationships are broken. Relationships, they get broken. They essentially get ripped apart. It's like duct tape on skin. It just doesn't feel very good. Proverbs 13:10 says, "By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom." That word insolence means arrogantly making decisions without considering the consequences. You're arrogantly making decisions without considering the consequences. And that word strife means fighting or arguing. Relationships get broken. The lines of communication that should be speaking grace and love and forgiveness turn to what? Words of anger, words of hatred, words of destruction. Why? Because we make unwise decisions. And when you choose to make unwise decisions, here's another thing that happens to us. Good intentions are wasted. Good intentions are wasted. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." That word fail means frustrated. Frustrated. Have you ever wanted to do something for somebody that you thought was going to be good and it backfired? Anybody? You had great intentions, but man, it didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out. There's a principle that is found in the book of Proverbs, and it's this. Do the right thing in the right way at the right time. Sometimes your good intention is not done in the right way. It's not spoken with love and grace. Sometimes that good intention is not done at the right time. And so the book of Proverbs teaches this principle that seeking godly counsel will teach you and train you to do what? To have good intentions that aren't wasted, but they're done in the right tone, the right way, the right timing. All those things are critically important as we're living life with other people. Think about the end of all those verses that we just read. I'm going to read them back to you. You won't see them on the screen, but I want you to listen to the back end of those verses. Proverbs 11:14, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in the abundance of counselors, there is what? There is safety." Seeking godly counsel gives you the opportunity for safety. Proverbs 13:10, "By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom." When you seek godly counsel, it positions you in a place of wisdom, seeing life from God's perspective. Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." When you surround yourself around godly counsel, plans, paths, journeys that you go on in life, the direction of your life, in many ways will bring about success. Not success in the world's way of thinking, but success in the way that God views success. I hope you understand how important it is to seek godly counsel in your life. When you think about the book of Proverbs, This is the framework in which the book of Proverbs wants you to live your life for God. It's trusting in His Word. It's trusting in His wisdom. We don't naturally have the wisdom of God in our life. And so it's important for us to trust in what God says is true. Another framework is this: guard your heart. Guard your heart. The core of who you are, above anything else, the proverb says, to guard your heart, to protect your heart. Why? Because it's the very springs of life that flow out of it. You want to poison a person, you get to their heart. You want to have abundant life, life that is honoring to God, guard your heart. And then the third framework is the importance of seeking godly counsel. You have that framework in your life, church. You have an awesome opportunity and privilege to live a life that honors Him, loves Him, and loves other people. Let us pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for today. We thank You for the encouragement in Your Word. Lord, I know this particular teaching was void of certain things, but Lord, it was very practical. Lord, there are aspects of our Christian life that are very, very practical. And so, Lord, I prayed this morning as we end our time in the Word, that the Holy Spirit has spoken clearly in our lives and has laid an awesome foundation of the importance of seeking godly counsel. So, Lord, I pray that as we walk by faith and not by sight, You will teach us and lead us to the next step in our life so that we would position ourselves to not only seek godly counsel, but that You would teach us how to give godly counsel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we close this morning, as we have our time of response, again, this message was pretty practical for us. And maybe you're here this morning and you need some godly counsel. You don't know where to turn. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've searched God's Word, and you don't know where to turn. I want you to know that this church loves you. Our pastors love you. We will speak words of affirmation in your life. We will speak God's truth in your life. We have a partnership with Low Country Biblical Counseling Center that can help guide you through the things of life as well. And so if that's you this morning and you just don't know who to turn to, I'm going to ask you, at some point today, reach out. Reach out to one of our pastors. Call the front office. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you're going into a situation this week. You know, Thanksgiving sometimes is not the greatest time of year, is it, for many people? Oftentimes, families don't get along. And so maybe you just need some good godly counsel. The altar will be open for you just to pray to God. Maybe you know of somebody that's going to be going into a rough situation this week. Man, I want to challenge you. There is awesome stuff that happens when we involve ourselves in intercessory prayer, where we pray on behalf of other people. I want to give you an opportunity to pray. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know who Jesus is. Maybe you're new to this whole Jesus thing and you have some questions about what God means, what Jesus means. I'd love to share with you on those things too. So as we stand and sing, this is your time to respond to the Lord and how the Lord's been speaking to you. So let's stand and sing.